Welcome to Geek Actually, the after show, episode 110. It says 109 on my show. Why is it my show notes are always screwed up for the after show? 110 for the 27th of November, 2010. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am continued to be joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm hot. Starting to feel the weather right now.
It starts to wear on you after a while. It starts to get a bit hot. Mm. We will push through. This is our after show. This is... Oh!
There's my microphone.
Every after show.
Every after show, at least once, I give the chat room a good old taste of my... microphone falling over.
So if that didn't blow out your eardrums, let's keep going. Okay, what is this? This is our after show. This is our unstructured after show where we basically finished recording our film show and our tech show, and we just get to basically geek out and talk about anything that is particularly geeky. And we have our researcher, David Murray, a.k.a. Delta Knight, in our chat room, who sends us copious amounts of links for all those geeky things, and of course we sit and parse through them because we don't have time to go through all of them. I wish we did, but we don't. And so we just go through and kind of pick the eyes out of everything he sends us and kind of go through our week in geek, really. And this is neither tech nor film nor weirdness related. It's just everything. Now we do have some video. We've got some food, as usual, because we like our food. I don't know if the like is the right word. No, we like our food. We just sometimes wonder about what these guys eat. Once again, we have the Canadians back. And the reason why we're doing the Canadians this week, I feel like we've been doing them a lot and we need to find something else. But this week was Thanksgiving in America. Now, Thanksgiving happened on Thursday. It's now Saturday. We celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm an American citizen, and we like to celebrate Thanksgiving because it's a lovely year. And we always do it on the Sunday because we don't get a public holiday here in Australia. Yeah. So we always have our Thanksgiving on the Sunday, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was particularly relevant because they do like a Thanksgiving meal. Oh, what a Thanksgiving meal they do.
I'm scared to even think.
Double-digit 1,000 calories. I think it's something in the realms of like 60,000 calories or something. Like that. So it is a remarkable meal, and we will have a look at that as the last thing in the show, as usual. So we'll come back to that. First thing I want to do before we start any links, though, is just talk a little bit. Sometimes we do this on the after show. We talk about what we've been watching this week because we review films on the Film Actually show, but we don't get a chance to talk about all the things we watch because we watch an awful lot of stuff, Josh and I. And I thought I'd just throw out a couple of things really quickly. We don't want to harp too much on it, but just say that I did watch the extended supercut of Avatar this week on Blu-ray. And I have to say, for anybody who hasn't seen the extended cut, now, first of all, you know that I've been boycotting buying Avatar because I didn't want to buy that vanilla terrible release that they already released. They have released the Deluxe Collector's 3 Blu-ray disc super version with three different versions of the movie and hours and hours and hours of bonus features, and it is worth buying. And I will say that I finally bought it and I sat down and watched the extended DVD cut. This isn't the same as the extended cut that went into the cinemas just recently. This is longer again. And I have to say, after talking to Josh about it, I think it's a better film for it. It puts in a whole bunch of stuff that is character building stuff and helps explain motivations and stuff like that behind it. And if you have only seen Avatar once or twice and thought it was okay, but there could be more to it, watch the extended cut. I think you might be surprised. It is a better film for the extra 16 minutes. Josh, what have you been watching this week?
Me this week, I have been kind of sticking quite a bit to the games, believe it or not. I've been going through and slogging out the rest of Call of Duty. We actually have done the review.
This is Black Ops.
We did the Black Ops review this week on Raw DLC, but I decided to struggle through and continue on with the game. And I have to say that I now am at the point where I'm understanding why people are saying it's one of the darkest of the series. It really is. Like, it has visual violence on screen that I think rivals anything I've ever seen. Like, just for actual realism for what's going on. It's pretty graphic.
Wow.
So, okay. Which makes me worry about all those kids that are getting this title.
And we should have an R rating for games.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. We won't go into that too heavy. But yes, no, this is one of those few titles where you look at it and you're just like, how do they even... Yeah, no, exactly. Like Northy says, it leaves an impact on you. There's some pretty messed up stuff happens in the in that game. Other than that, though, started playing Need for Speed, which is fantastic. The new Need for Speed is a complete return to form. It's going back to the true style of what was Need for Speed. Fun, you know.
And, wow, what a concept.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thunk that would have
worked?
Now,
this is a new Hot Pursuit, isn't it?
Yes.
Hot I got to say that Need for Speed Hot Pursuit that came out in the... I want to say late 90s,
yeah.
Was...
The Hot Pursuit was 3. The third Need for Speed was the first one that had the cop chasing.
That's right, where you could throw down the spike belts and stuff like that. My favorite of all of the Need for Speed games. And in fact, I played the hell out of that game on PC. So I was quite... we ran into David Kozicki the other day having lunch, and he was telling us about it, and I was like, wow, that is one.
Yeah, well, Criterion are the guys that do it, and Criterion are responsible for the Burnout series, which is... one of my favorite car series of all time. So, yeah, it's awesome. And, they have a lot of tracks, actually, in the game that are references for the old ones. Like, there's parts of the tracks that are actually from the original games, which I thought was very cool.
I'm not a big fan of racing games, but Hot Pursuit really
grabbed me. Hot Pursuit is a totally different beast, though. It's about running people off the road.
And you get to play the cops. Come on, that's great.
And, yeah, you can play either side. Even escaping the cops is fantastic fun. I mean, it's all really, really good.
That was actually one of the first games I played when I got my brand new 3DFX Voodoo, 4 megabyte graphics card back then. I was like, oh, 4 megabyte. Hot. It was hot.
Oh,
I was the only one of my friends that had a 3DFX card. It was cool.
But yeah, no, so that's what I've been doing.
Excellent. I've also been playing a game as well. I didn't mention it last week. I bought GoldenEye on Wii.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually tweeted out the fact that the GoldenEye on Wii actually finally makes the Wii a viable console. You know, it's like you look at it and you start playing GoldenEye and you go, wow, this is actually a game console.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's a really good game. It's a great first-person shooter.
I'm having
a lot of fun playing that. So if you think of the Wii as just a toy, which on the most part it is, GoldenEye kind of shows what it is capable of.
Yeah, if they stopped messing around and actually tried to put some effort into it, what it could be.
And the other game I've been playing on the Wii, which is also a really fun game but exhausting, is Red Steel 2, which is just physically exhausting, though, after a while, because you have to stand to play it, for one, and there's lots of swinging and moving and motion, and it's really...
Yeah.
But it's also a really good game, really a lot of fun. All right, so the other thing I thought I'd just bring up really quickly is that I've started watching, so I'll report back on it once I finish the first season. I've started watching this new British, well, not new now, it's in its second season, but new for me, British series called Misfits, which is just a bizarre show. It's kind of like Heroes crossed with, I don't even know how you describe it. It's like Heroes mixed with, you know, troubled youth comedies, you know, whereas basically a bunch of young people, they're in their, like, you know, late teens, early 20s, who are all on probation doing community service, and they get struck by lightning in this freak storm and all kind of develop strange and weird superpowers and don't really know what they're doing. They're not fighting crime. It's just a bizarre show, but there's liberal swearing, nudity, sexual content. It's just as absolutely out of its mind series. 6-episode first season, and I have been told season 2, which has just started, is like better. It is, apparently it is like one of the best television ever made. So I'm very curious to get there. So far, I don't think it's the best television ever made from what I've seen. I've seen 2 episodes so far, but it is keeping me interested. And I've been fascinated to watch more, put it that way. So I am curious. If anybody has seen Misfits, you can shout it out in the chat room and let me know what you think. But I'm definitely going to be watching a little bit more of that. Probably watch some more tonight, actually. Okay, let's get on to our Geek Week. Once again, all the links in this show are brought to us courtesy of Delta Knight in our chat room. And the first thing I'm going to bring up is, how much do you love Facebook, Josh?
Like this much?
This much?
Maybe like a little bit.
Would you be willing to pay $24 per year to catalog your Facebook into book form?
So basically my Facebook would be a sea of ads, is what you're saying.
Well, no. What this company is offering to do...
No, I mean, because that's all I do is advertise.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. If you are one of those people who's obsessed by your personal life and all of your mentions and talks in the Facebook world, this company called Ninuku Archivist, N-I-N-U-K-U, you pay them $24 per year, and it automatically downloads your feed constantly into their service. And at any time, you can actually say, print this for me, and it'll basically bring up a printable book form of your Facebook so that you can then print it out and publish it into a book. They don't do that part, mind you. My first thought was, oh, they'll make a book for you. No. They just archive it and format it into a position so it looks like a book, and then you can print it out and bind it if you really feel that you need to have your Facebook turned into a book.
Wow, you'd have to be someone really, really...
You've got to be
really
serious narcissist to have your Facebook turned into a book.
Can you just imagine sitting there? It's like a photo album, except for you just sitting there mindlessly flicking through all the crap.
Because according to the article on... now, let me just make sure I've got the right article here. This is from... this is from Gizmodo. I must say Delta spends an awful lot of time in Gizmodo. And he says, it says, if you view your Facebook status updates, wall posts, and pictures as precious memories, you have a problem. Besides the obvious mental one. How do you keep them from disappearing into Facebook's overwhelming data mall? Enter Ninuku Archivist. Basically what happens is they keep storing your stuff. So even if it's disappeared, hello, we just lost our feed. Okay, and we're back. Boy, that was an interesting little crash we had there, but the audio listeners will be not subjected to all that middle of the rebooting stuff. But for those who wonder why there's a bit of a jump in the story, is because we crashed. Our live feed crashed. Okay, anyway, so basically, let's move on from this Facebook thing. The bottom line of it is that they will archive your Facebook for you for a fee, which I just think is, the entire thing I just think is ridiculous.
I think the whole thing's a little silly. Really, if you're that much into it.
Are you really that desperate for Facebook? All right. Now, this was a kind of a public service announcement, and the reason why I put it in here is because I agree with her completely, and her name is Rosa... I'm going to massacre this name. Her name is Rosa Golajan, I think it is, or Golajan. She writes for Gizmodo, and she basically wrote an article saying, quit or knock off all this protesting of airport security. Okay. Yeah. Now, her argument is sound. Now, I understand that people get really upset about the whole TSA in America. We don't actually have quite so many problems here in Australia. But for the Americans out there, basically, there was the whole thing this week with National Opt-Out Day, where they were saying, you know, everybody should opt out and not go through airport security, or basically say, I don't want to be scanned, so everybody has to be patted down, which would slow everything down, and all this sort of nonsense. And the joke of it all, the irony of it, of course, is that Brian Sodergren, the man behind National Opt-Out Day, decided to travel by car that day. So he didn't even participate in National Opt-Out Day, bastard. All right. Basically, all you're doing with stuff like National Opt-Out Day is pissing off the other passengers.
Yeah.
Okay. The TSA, you know, they are a group of people who follow orders. You've got a problem with airport security and stuff like that. Do the logical thing, like we're trying to do with getting an R rating in this country, which is write to your Congress people, write to your senators, you know, give a good reasoning argument to all of this. But just pissing off people at the security terminals at the airports is just pissing everybody else off and slowing down transport.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay? So if you want to go read the entire article, the article is actually called Quit Throwing Airport Security Tantrums and Let Me Fly in Peace. All right, because let's face it, flying is already stressful enough for some people.
It's horrible.
And, you know, it's crowded and everything else. So just get over it, all right? There are ways to protest that are much more effective. Just pissing off the TSA isn't going to help you move any faster.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, with that little bit out of the way, I'm going to say more iOS autocorrect fun. This was an article, once again, on Gizmodo, and it was just one. Last week, we talked about all this iOS autocorrect. This one was funny, though, because basically they had to put this one up because it kind of made this person's life a little bit awkward. The conversation goes as such. Your mom and I are going to divorce next month. Yeah. The reply, what? Why? Call me, please. His answer is, I wrote Disney, and this phone changed it. We are going to Disney.
Oh God, dude, that's cruel.
And all I can say is, go to that website, damnyouautocorrect.com. I thought that was really funny. We go on the tech show a lot about the robot apocalypse, and all I'm going to say is forget the robot apocalypse, because long before the robots ever rise, we're going to kill ourselves. It's as simple as that. According to this argument, according to this article, it says last year two men were handcuffed and detained after a drunken bar incident. Not unremarkable for your average road warrior. These are truck drivers, okay? Except these two men were federal agents, and their cargo was nuclear weaponry. All right.
Right.
And apparently it's happened before. So these federal agents going off and getting into bar fights and getting drunk are transporting nuclear weapons. And all I can say is, really, dudes? You don't think there's kind of like grounds for you to be a little bit more lucid during that time?
Apparently not.
So
America's gonna end up exploding due to some dude driving off the road well pissed.
Now remember,
wouldn't that just be so typically like the way it would happen though? Just I'm just gonna put it out there. It's just that seems like kind of like what would happen. You know, we will end up killing ourselves based entirely on drinking
disorder.
Too much and
drunken disorderly activities.
Yep. Yeah, well.
Callison just put in the chat room, my weapon has more megatons than yours. Fight. Yes. No, I think if we keep going, humans will definitely wipe themselves out before anybody has a chance to wipe us out.
Agreed.
Because humans also come up with the strangest inventions. Can I just show you this one? This is a new invention from a Chinese inventor. He basically it was an experiment to see if he could actually work on articulated legs. And so he came up with what's called the Land Crawler Extreme. It's basically a new kind of...
It has extreme in the name.
With
a capital
X after the E. So E, extreme, okay? And this was some video shot of it. This isn't the whole video. The video is quite long, but I've abridged it a little bit. He made it for his son, basically, but it was an experiment in articulated legs. So this is a new form of skateboard. This is going to get you places real fast. Are you ready? Kind of creepy looking, though. I will say that.
Dude, it like...
So all the little articulated legs running. You can catch this video on the show note links. But what I love is once they put a person on it. So, you know, it can move and it's got all this motion. But look, the legs, it's really intricate. Really intricately put together. But all I can think is, as a form of transport?
I don't think it's any worse than a, one of the,
Segway?
Yeah.
A Segways go faster than this thing.
Well, I haven't
you
seen
can,
it.
You can put a bunch of speed on a Segway. Just a second here, somebody's going to...
Look, it was moving faster then.
Yeah, but wait till we put load on it, okay?
Okay. Alright.
So any second now, we're going to have a person put load on this thing. There's a bit close up there on the camera work, guys. You know, I guess he's really showing the legs off.
Yeah.
It's a great piece of articulation. I mean, he's really worked on the gearing and everything.
Are we going to put somebody on it yet?
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. So that's just demonstrating the articulation. Okay, here we go. Let's go traveling. And... Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem a tad
you're going to
want to
give yourself some time to get
to
work.
I love the fact that it's actually also stalling every, like, 0.2 of a second, so his legs are kind of... It looks really uncomfortable.
Somebody said, how big is it? Well, you can now see in the chat room he's standing on it. It's like skateboard size. So anyway, so there's your articulated leg transport, or let me say it again.
Thank you, Northy. This is why people pay out geeks.
That's
agreed.
Right. So there's your Land Crawler Extreme, okay? But from that little silly piece of tech, which I thought was kind of silly, we go to this particularly awesome. This was actually a art project.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to see if I can find the guy's name, because it is fantastic. It's actually called Metropolis 2 is the name of the artwork. He's done this before. He made another one. It wasn't quite as big as this. But in Metropolis 2, artist Chris Burden, every hour, 100,000 cars pass through the city of wooden blocks, Lego, and Lincoln Logs. Have a look at this and tell me this isn't particularly cool and you wouldn't want to watch this go around for a while. All right, so here's his workshop. And you go inside. Now check this out. There's all the Hot Wheels cars. All right, they go up on their little conveyor belt. Check out the tracks behind it.
No way.
Check this out. Off they go, and they're off! Check out that Hot Wheels track.
That is,
Is that intense or what?
That's special. That's just really special.
I could sit and watch that go around for hours.
12,000 cars at one time.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
I love that. That is just awesome. I love little things. Have I said that? I like things like train sets and stuff like that. This sort of stuff really appeals to me. I love the fact that it goes up on these little things and they pick up speed again and off they go again. I think it's just fantastic. The amount of ingenuity behind it.
Mm.
Digital Angel says that guy needs to get laid.
Delta's, that is just so cool.
Delta's just right. He says we all need to get laid. All right. That is particularly awesome. I love that a lot. And I love how fast they're going.
Mm. That's just, it's like the big open wide shots. Make sure that people that are looking at the audio shows check this out. This is just a real feat of engineering.
Remember, once again, all the videos, links, and everything are always in our show notes. So if you are just listening to the audio, make sure you do go check out that video, because that is really quite staggering. Dude, Rorschach, the Watchman.
Yes.
He's got the
gun.
Compressed air grappling hook gun.
Yeah.
They've made one. I love this thing. This thing is awesome. It is a compressed air grappling hook gun. At the moment, it's still a little big, as we can see by this picture that I'm bringing up. It is the size of a very large bazooka at this point. But come on, let's face it. We've made one. Miniaturization is just the next step.
That's what we do.
And that is just hot. I love that. All right. From that, back to mini things on tracks, because I love mini things on tracks, as I've said before. This guy, now this isn't, I don't think it's quite as impressive as the Matchbox cars, okay? I will state that for the record. But he made this for his kids' room. And apparently, if you go to the link on Gizmodo, this is Geeks Are Sexy, sorry, geeksaresexy.com, geeksaresexy.net, I should say. This video can be found there, and there's also a link to the instructions on how to build one of these for yourself.
Oh, that's
if cool. You want to build one. This is a perimeter marble run around his kid's bedroom. I'll play this in the background because, once again, it's just sound of the marbles. But basically, he built this, and it has this little electric wheel that powers, get the marbles going. But then they run on kinetic energy after that. And we'll just let it play in the background because it's actually fairly long to get it all the way around the track because there's a few points where it builds up. But look at this thing. This is just beautifully engineered. Everything taps, moves along. As it builds up a certain number of marbles at this particular point, it'll eventually drop the next one. There you go. It drops the next marble. Gets enough speed to come back again. Picks up a little speed around the room. One goes down. I love the fact that this one does this roll, but doesn't drop until it gets to exactly the right point. Wait for it, and click. And then it has to go up this little stairway to build up its energy. This one takes a little bit longer to go up, but you'll see one's already rolled off. This is where it picks up speed.
Yeah.
So it goes over here, it goes up nice and high. We've got the next one coming down. Once again, it has to reach that exact spot. This video can be found on the show note links. And off it goes. Kicks over the next one. This goes up. One's about to reach. There it goes. Oh, no, that's not the one he follows. Why doesn't he follow that one?
Because he's very proud of his design.
He's very proud of his design. The amount of calculation to get this just right, make sure all of this works just right. And here it goes. Off it goes. Picks up speed. Gives it a little loop-to-loop to get it really good and fast.
Around the room. Through the dip.
Through the dip. Goes around and
shoom,
shoom, goes around this part here and back to starting point.
That's very cool.
Is that just not cool or what? And, you know, if I had more room, more time, more energy, and I was, you know, if I didn't get laid, I would probably build one of those myself. So I really like that. I thought that was really cute. Okay. Now, I have a video here that I want to play for you, Josh, because this mysteriously appeared in the iPad version of Wired. And it's a video made by Neil Blomkamp.
Okay.
Now, it's some kind of viral teaser for his next film. It's fairly poor quality because it is actually captured straight off of the Wired app. But there's no explanation for it. It just kind of appears. It's not a trailer. So I just thought I'd have a look. Now, Neil Blomkamp, for those who don't know, is the director of District 9. And his new film, I'm sure, is coming soon. And this is obviously something to do with it. So I'm very curious. So have a look at this.
In the dirt room?
Yeah.
Okay, where is it?
Yeah, it's up here on the left. This row of stuff is right here. Sure.
What the hell is that, dude?
To the 12th. I wonder whether that's the date.
Might be the release date.
I don't know what the rest says.
How bizarre is that?
It's very bizarre. How long does it go?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's very cool looking there.
It's very cool looking and very strange all at the same time. You sit there going, what is it, dude?
Don't really know what to say to that.
No.
It's kind of both cool and creepy.
It's kind of cool. Is it a horror film? Is it some sort of, I don't know.
I think monster, I'm going with monster film. Like the date stamping, like the branding on the things make it like genetic engineering possibly or cataloging. So whatever it is, we have control of it.
Remember, he did say he was working on a new sci-fi film, but he wouldn't go any further than that. That's all he ever said. So
it's Halo. No, it's not Halo, Callison.
No, it's not Halo. I don't know what that is. Okay, let's talk
about...
I'm
intrigued, though.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I want to know more. And I'd like to see a higher quality version of that as well, because it's really rough around the edges. Okay. We all play video games.
Okay. Most of us.
Well, most of us. At some point or another, we all play video games. Would you pay $15,000 to have the chance to play a video game on a screen 820 feet long?
No, I've played a video game once in a cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Okay, well, this Chinese guy decided that he wanted to play video on this screen. Now, where are we? Hold on a second. Here you go. This screen, 820 feet long, longer than an American football field.
Okay. Wow.
And he decided that wouldn't it be a great idea to play a video game on this enormous screen?
How would you...
So he paid $15,000 for the privilege, and here's some video of him playing the game. Now, have a look at this. Put it in perspective. So we're at the palace here in, I think it's in China. There he is. Sitting in the middle of this arcade with his little deck chair, with his laptop, and we look up. And he's playing the game.
Is that World of Warcraft?
I don't think it's actually World of Warcraft. I think it's some sort of Chinese knockoff of it. But he's obviously, and some people are videotaping him going, what is this guy doing? But there he is, playing on an 820-foot screen.
There you go.
Boy, I tell you what, he's going to have one sore neck in the next day.
Yeah, no, that can't be good for you in any way.
That's not ergonomically sound.
No, that's really not cool. Anyway.
Anyway, so things people will do. It obviously meant a lot to him.
Well, hey, look, he did his thing and he played his game and, you know, everybody will probably think he's really creepy for the rest of his life. But, you know, the man did what he wanted to do.
That's true. It says here that the MMO site reckons that the man, a guild leader, spent $15,000 for the privilege of playing on the enormous screen located in Beijing, which bought him an evening on a deck chair playing a game on his laptop, but looking up, obviously. Since video doesn't do the scale justice, that's why we had a picture. And this is an article that was on for the Delta Centers from Kotaku. Okay, so if you want to read that article, you can. But there you go. There's the man playing video on the huge screen.
That's why? Just
silly. I don't think any video game is worth paying $15,000.
I don't think that... Wow, but, you know, impressive nonetheless.
Nonetheless, impressive. What I thought was really impressive, though, was this next video. And we're going to show this video here. Now, I encourage anybody who is listening to the audio-only version of this to go and look at our video on this, or just follow the link and look at the YouTube video directly. This is a guy who wants to show you what's actually happening in a microwave oven when you fire up a microwave oven. And he basically...
Please tell me he doesn't get inside.
No, he doesn't get inside.
Okay, thank God.
What he does is he uses a sheet that basically has little bulbs on it, and the microwaves actually hit the bulbs, making them illuminate.
Yeah.
And you can actually see what's going on inside a microwave oven. He's not a very good speaker. You can hear him talking here. But his experiment is fun.
Have you ever wondered what happens inside your microwave oven? Sure, you know that there are microwaves coming out, but where are the microwaves going?
He sounds a bit like a comic book guy.
Well, it's a way to find out where even the invisible microwaves are. Microwaves are absorbed by anything that conducts electricity.
Yes,
the salty water
you.
In your food absorbs the microwaves and turns the microwaves into heat in the food. Other things can absorb microwaves as well. For example, electrical wires can absorb microwaves, and it turns them into electricity. In this grid, I have a section of neon bulbs.
So
when the wires in the back absorb the microwaves and convert them into electricity, then it causes the neon bulbs to light up. If I put this inside the microwave and turn on the microwave, then you can see the patterns of the microwaves on the inside of the microwave oven.
All right, here we go. So he sticks it in the microwave. Sorry?
Is that polystyrene on the bottom?
Well, yeah, because it wouldn't melt. Because microwaving doesn't actually heat up, it just vibrates. Oh!
As the grid turns in the microwave oven, the
like
wires go in and out of the hot spots of the microwaves, and that causes them to light up when they're in the hot spots.
I like the ones moving.
Go out when they're in the cooler, the spots with less microwaves. You'll notice that it tends to be stronger around the edges, although there are some in all parts of the microwave oven. The lighting patterns are really quite enjoyable to look at.
That's crazy.
I love his comment. The microwaves are actually really enjoyable to look at.
Well, I'll be sure to install one of those whenever I'm cooking pasta.
Now, this video goes on. I've abridged it, but the video goes on because he wanted to demonstrate as well what happens when you put something else in the microwave with it. So he puts in a glass of water because now the glass of water is absorbing the microwaves, and you can actually see the lights actually don't go on and off that much because the water is actually now absorbing the microwaves rather than... So he does a couple of experiments. Worth having a look at the video. It is very pretty. So if you're only looking at the audio, or sorry, only listening to the audio, go have a look at that video because it's very pretty. It's like disco lights. It's very cool. Now, this was just incredibly cute. This was Geekology actually put this link up, which is the Battle of the Lords. And it's not video or anything, but there is a graphic that you can look at if you go to the site. And basically they wanted to compare Lord Vader versus Lord Voldemort and who wins in particular categories. So they said...
Ah, nerds.
Absolutely. This is so geek. Preferred title, Lord, Ty. Okay. Childhood name, Annie, Tom. Tom wins.
Tom wins. I'll wear that.
Why their faces messed up? Lava burns versus some kind of magical crap. Lava burns wins.
Yeah, no.
Clothing. Badass helmet, breathing apparatus, cape, box with cool lights on it. Some sheets. I think Lord Vader wins in that one. Number of whiny children. 2, Lord Vader. 0, Voldemort. Voldemort wins.
Voldemort wins that one.
Minions have trouble with Ewoks or school children. It's a tie. Can he wear sunglasses? Lord Vader, no need. And on Lord Voldemort, they'll probably slip off.
They would because he doesn't have a nose. So fair enough. That one.
Typical evil deed, blowing up Alderaan or killing Robert Pattinson. He wins.
Yeah, no. I can't. Wow.
Sweet kill move, force choke, or Avada Kedavra. It's a tie. Total number of movies, 6 versus 8. Voldemort wins. Is there still good in him? Vader, yes. Voldemort, no. He wins. And finally defeated by... Oh, this is spoilers, by the way. Spoilers for these films. Finally defeated by powerful Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Or a teenage boy's wand. I think Vader wins.
Yeah.
And the winner... they've actually put... Voldemort is the winner, and they've actually put, what the fuck? Laugh out loud. You mad?
Well, so, I never thought I'd see the day where Vader got beaten by
I know. I actually think
Harry Potter.
I think Vader should win. I think
the categories weren't fair.
I think he gets double points for some of the categories. His badass outfit over the sheet should get double points right there.
Yeah.
All right, now, very, very quickly here. Last week we discussed, we're in our Delta's Weird Food moment, okay? And last week we discussed a coffee machine built into a computer case.
I remember. Yes.
Delta found us a picture.
Yeah.
All right, and it's in our show notes, so you can find it there. But for our chat room, I want this computer case.
It's very cool.
That is the most awesome computer case in the world. For those who are listening, and if you don't, go check out the show notes, it is a computer case that actually has a percolator coffee maker built into it. I think this is just awesome. And I would kill for that. Although I'm wondering about the cooling on that computer.
Yeah. No, so am I.
So anyway, whether it's fake or not, I don't know, but that is cool and badass. All right, we're going to finish this off for the day because, of course, it is very hot and we're ready to move on. It is Delta's Weird Geek Food, and to celebrate Thanksgiving for all the Americans out there who have just had their Thanksgiving, I think we should take a look at Epic Food. These are the Canadian guys, and this is their latest contraption or their latest ingenious piece of cooking. It's a pretty short one. This was their Turbacon Epic Thanksgiving.
I'm here for my pig.
Turbacon Epic, a bird in 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 a pig.
5 birds to put inside of it. Turkey, duck, chicken, Cornish hen, quail. Took the bones out of them. We made bacon croissant stuffing. We made meat glue from 1.5 pounds of bacon and veal pork sausage meat. Turkey, then meat glue, then seared duck.
We're up to 52,000 calories at this point.
Bacon strips and bacon strips and bacon strips and bacon strips. Then layer the chicken on top. Then the stuffing and Cornish game hen and meat glue and quail.
Oh, that's a lot of meat.
Dude, that's just so much.
That's a lot of meat.
Together, and then we sewed it shut.
Wait, it's not over yet.
They're covering it in bacon?
Bacon strips. They bake it.
We season the pig with dry rub.
Holy shit, they're putting it in the pig?
Yes.
Filled the cavity.
Look at his face.
And then we sewed it shut.
It's a very important part is when we get all the air pockets out and we tenderize the pig.
Put it on the smoker. Covered with a glaze and cream with Dr. Pepper and
was
butter.
Was that Coke?
Dr. Pepper.
Wrap that in bacon. Just because we're
it's up. Mummified with
we're
bacon.
The whole thing with Baconators.
79,000 calories.
There's just no way of describing how wrong that whole statement is. Just everything about.
Oh my god. What?
They're just like, oh, dude, couldn't you at least put something?
I like that animal.
I like that animal.
It's not an animal, it's a horrible hybrid.
Good lord.
Next time, we eat Billy Boots.
What?
I don't know. The cute girl's back. Yes, that is quite possibly the scariest piece of meat I think
I've
ever seen.
That's just wrong.
Let's Happy Thanksgiving. Everybody has to celebrate their Thanksgiving in some way, and that's obviously how they decided to do it. I will just point out that just to date back to an earlier story, Digital Angel has said, could you imagine watching porn on the 820-foot screen? That I'm down with. That would be awesome. The only problem is it would be stretched.
I can't see that really working. You wouldn't know where to look.
All right. We're done, guys. That's our show for the day. We're going to get out of here. Just a couple of things. If you want to send us any links, you come across them. We had lots of submissions from lots of different people this week. There's a couple of things in there that aren't all Delta. I had other people. Calisynth sent one and so forth. I think it was Calisynth. Anyway, some people send me stuff. I get overwhelmed by email sometimes. So if I don't mention you all by name, be aware that we do read everything that you send, even if it's not mentioned, okay? Mm-hmm. And we appreciate all email. Send it to feedback@geekactually.com or drop us a voicemail at Sydney number 02-8011-3167, or we have a Skype ID of Geek Actually. So if you're outside of Sydney, you can do that. cafepress.com.au/geekactually for your merchandising needs, and we have a Facebook fan page, which often gets like my Twitter posts and stuff, so you'll find extra stuff there. Facebook.com/geek. Actually, this is the after show. We have two real shows. The real shows are Film Actually and Tech Actually, and you can find those also on iTunes. Also, all of our back episodes, all the way dating back 2 years now, or year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is all on geekactually.com. So you can find all that stuff there. We do this live. We start the recording day at 12 p.m. every Saturday, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, UTC plus 11. Come and join the chat room. It's a lot of fun. We record all three shows back to back. And we also have our friends out there, moviefanhouse.com and Real Junkies at weekendronan.com. So check those podcasts out as well if you like movie podcasts. And Josh, do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
Just do it.
All right. RawDLC.com is the home of DLC Live, which is a wonderful, brilliant, amazing gaming podcast.
Easy, son.
Hey, I'm just
trying. No, do it. I appreciate it. Yes, we have a live show I know. We have a live show as well. It goes out 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, Australian time. Come check us out. And, of course, don't forget to check out GodHasPinkHair.com, Celine Roberts' new website, which is full of awesome artness.
And we'll get Celine back on the show again so she can plug her own stuff as well.
Yep.
Just to remind you about the David Storms America tour, we are trying to raise money to get over to America. Now, the chat room was going berserk in the break time, so let me just stress for people listening. They're all saying, oh, you should buy an air conditioner, you can buy an air conditioner, blah, blah. I'll tell you what, here's the deal. We have two places you can donate. Okay, onto our show. First place is David Storms America. Those donations are only for David Storms America, and they are listed as a special thing. If you want to donate to us just for equipment and blah, 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 and all the things in day-to-day life, go to the Support Us link on the webpage, and you will find just a donation button. Okay? Mm-hmm. They basically said, if we donate, will you put an air conditioner in so you'll all stop complaining? Look, here's the thing. Air conditioners make too much noise. You find us an air conditioner that is silent to operate, doesn't cost very much money, and you can raise the donations to actually get that air conditioner in here. Send me information, and that's where you donate. Don't donate into the Storms America Tour one. Okay?
Okay.
So there you go. So you need to do research for me. I don't know about air conditioners, and I know that all the ones I've looked at are too noisy. Okay, so there you go. Now, Josh Spencer, our cartoonist, attackninja.blogspot.com. Check him out. Also, we forgot to give him a plug in the tech show, so we'll give him a plug right now. Our wonderful Tech Actually theme is supplied by Grant Noy, a very, very talented man. He also writes for us. And I just got a new review from him, which we'll be posting up in the next few days. So keep your eyes open for that. I don't want to say what it's reviewing yet because it hasn't been released yet. So the review will go up in a day or so. Cool. All right. With all that being said, I'm done. I'm going to get out of here because I'm roasting.
Yep.
And I think we are finished for the day, Josh.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Oh, we've still got this Geek Actually slide. DLC. There we are. There's me. Hey, guys. Okay, we're going to get out of here. I want to say thank you because this is the end of the day. I want to say thank you to our chat room. You guys are sensational. You keep us going. We love you guys dearly. We couldn't do the show without you. I want to say thank you, Josh, for a wonderful day of recording.
Thanks.
And we'll see. We'll do it all again next week. Because cool. That's what we do.
Wonderful.
Have a great day, Josh.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, see you all later.
We'll be right back.